This is the second radio salon of Moving in November 2019. And from Esitys Radio, Performance Radio, it's Mira Galtto here and
Anna Kadia here.
And we are speaking to two of the festival's artists today. Could you please introduce yourselves briefly?
Hello, I am Dana Michelle.
Hi, I'm Janina Rajakangas.
Great. I'm very happy to have you here. Also to say that we are, Janina's work was premiered yesterday, and then Dana's work we have so far only seen on video, or we've seen a documentation of the work, so that's the perspective we have on speaking about the work as well. To start, I would like to ask you to introduce the work to people who have not seen it. So people who are listening who haven't seen the work yet, how would you describe the work? Or what happens? You can be as literal as you like.
Okay.
You want to go first?
You can go first.
I don't mind.
You don't mind?
No.
I was thinking like maybe it's fresher for you.
I remember better.
Maybe we need to pick a number out of a hat.
No, I can go.
Okay.
Yeah. So maybe I'll, because it was just yesterday that we premiered, so I remember quite well. I'm just going to sort of talk through what happens as the audience comes in. And from there on, so the audience comes in and there's myself and Neil Callahan, who's the co-director of the work with me, and Mickey Bruno, who has composed the music and is also at that moment as the audience is coming in, he's playing his electric guitar. And me and Neil are there sort of hanging around with these fake tongues in our mouth. So we are in some sort of a hybrid state where we are, where we start to look for things that we cannot really name, but are somehow bodily, or that we, between us, between myself and Callahan, somewhat understand but cannot describe. And from there on we go on this trip where we look for these unnamed states, sometimes similar states and sometimes states that differ, and start to make these into something that you might call dance, and there, or sort of turning them into dance and art and possible phrases that are not in the written world but in some phrases in some other world. We also use sound, where we manipulate it with autotune. So again, we try to be some sort of a hybrid body that not only sort of makes things apparent with the body, but also then with the sound that the body makes, which could also then be, I mean, we have discussed if the sound is also part of the body or if it's outside, or when does it become outside. And then with the autotune, we play with making it also a landscape. So we do that for about an hour until we come to this sort of conclusion where we slowly like turn it around to ourselves and sort of meditate on the themes and land and then exit. I mean, it's very hard to put this piece in the words because for a year we've been trying to find something that is between words and something that we cannot really talk about. So,
did you say the title of the work yet?
So the title of the work is "Over Your Fucking Body."
Yes, maybe you said it already. But
I don't think I did.
Yeah, great.
I don't think I did.
Yeah. Hey, I have to ask you first. You saw Janina's piece yesterday. Mm-hmm. Do you recognize the work from Janina's description?
Yeah. It was a very good description.
But does it change anything when you hear someone like describing the work? Does it change your
my perspective?
Yeah.
No, that's exactly what I saw.
Hmm.
It was quite. Yeah.
That's nice to hear.
Yeah.
And nice that I managed now also to put it into some sort of words.
Yeah. What's that?
that it's great that these, because I felt like my words were really hard to sort of put together just then.
Huh.
But it's lovely if it sort of...
Yeah, it sounded clear. It
carries the meaning. Was,
and that's, yeah.
Great.
Well.
So you want to go?
Yeah. You don't like my stalling technique?
And we can totally discuss this for the next hour or so.
I would say that what do people see? Was that the question?
Yeah, or how would you describe
how would
the
describe
work is
the work?
For someone maybe who hadn't seen it?
Mm-hmm. I would say that it's a hunting. Open hunting season for an hour.
Great.
Yeah.
What's the name of the work?
Cutlass Spring.
Yes. And when was it premiered?
May of this year.
Okay, sweet.
2019.
Okay. I had to Google the cutlass word because I first I read it wrong, like cut glass, but then I was like, no, that's not the word. And it's just a sword, like a really old kind of like antique sword. How did that name come about?
It came about. I mean, there's like specifically and non-specifically, and then there's the afterwards. But okay. but in the Caribbean, the word cutlass is used like it's a big knife that's used quite commonly in like to cut down vegetation for work or for cutting whatever. It's a kind of like utilitarian large knife. So it's for me it's a like a very evocative word. It's a very evocative object, and it kind of directly reminds me of my grandfather. And of my kind of like a kind of virility. I don't know if I've said that before or thought about that so specifically, but that is true. Often people say, oh, I looked it up and it's a kind of old school knife, but for me it's a kind of like, it resonates as like a butter knife.
Yeah.
Also, in some ways, but not really because it's not like I've ever actually touched one. Okay, better stop talking on the colors. But yeah, that's what a cutlass is.
But then when you also say that it's hunting season, the work is hunting season, so mm-hmm. then having a sword in the title makes now a different kind of sense to me.
Right. And I mean, the two things, for instance, maybe I've made that kind of... No, I think the hunting logic came separately from naming of the piece. The hunting thing is something that I noticed after doing a few different, now I like to use the word versions for a work in progress. I like the word version. So after doing a few of these over a couple of years, I started to notice that the pattern was like a kind of like a there's some kind of hunt going on. And the title came, but I worked on the title for that whole time. I like to spend a lot of time working on the title. But they didn't come together. It wasn't as though, okay, I need a title that like makes me think of hunting. Oh, yes, cutlass wasn't.
Yeah.
They just kind of came in their own time.
Great. Yeah. I feel super, I feel like I'm a holder of a secret because I've seen the work and the people here listening to us have not, some have, but some maybe haven't. So I feel like I have some secret information for once. No.
That's one part of cutlass.
Share another part.
Okay, you could. Yeah,
You could, but maybe.
Okay,
also
shut up.
Yeah, you don't have to.
Yeah,
totally fine.
Cool.
Yeah, I saw Janina's and Neil's work in before the premiere on a Tuesday, and I watched your work this Thursday. So I kind of watched them side by side, or they were the artworks that I saw side by side. Also, they're in the context of this festival. and I felt that you work with similar things. Maybe this is totally my projection. So I feel like I can also, or I want to ask you the same question about, I know from previous discussions and hearing Janina talk after the show or after the run on Tuesday that you would call these things that you present or you bring or you make different states. I don't know how you would describe them, but they can be described at least from the outside as some sort of a state. I would be very curious to know, how do you prepare to perform them? Because they, I would just love to hear how do you perform, or prepare for performing the states, or Dana, however you might describe them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we call them states. I'm not always sure that's the right word. It's the one that somehow fits the best at the moment. But it's always a process of somehow making a task that we will sort of be in on stage as precise as possible. One of the things that we agreed with Neil as we were making the work was that what's important, and this will sound, I mean, it's horrific, but that it's important that we know what we are doing. It's this obvious. So we need to know what we're doing, and that's enough. And somehow, like, we will know once we know what we're doing that, no, now we can present this. That there's not sort of, you just work and work with the task and then you sort of get it. But it's more about like focusing, like, okay, now I'm working with that thing that involves my mouth and my fingers, and then that what it, you know, how it makes my sternum feel. And then then I do this and maybe I have another task with it. But somehow, I don't know how you would say that in English now. How do you jalostas something? Like, you first start with an idea and then you sort of develop, and develop is maybe a simpler word.
Then you define
it and redefine it, and then you love it and then you leave it and then you look at it again. And this is what you do in the process, and then you do it as, or we do it as we are performing.
But it doesn't need a special preparation, or, I mean, this can, I like mean, maybe this is something how you prepare to do it every time, like in other performances as well. I don't know.
Can you ask again? What do you mean by the preparation, like before,
exactly,
I go on stage?
Yeah. But like, yeah, maybe the question is whether you need a preparation for it. Or is it something that emerges from the score or the things that you have put together to perform?
Yeah, you need to prepare. You need, I meditate, I warm up, so I make sure like my muscles are ready for it and my head is ready for it. This sort of thing, yeah. And then I also, there's something also about not doing like too much just before, that you have still power to go for those tasks as it's the time of the show.
Yeah. Great, thank you.
So my preparation involves I used to look at it as a very specific not preparation, not warming up, not thinking about it, not in order to, yeah, like just like walk into it and see what happens. But over time, I see that I do this non-preparation in the same ways. So I'm like, I'm obviously not preparing.
Yeah.
But I don't know if it's a not preparing or if it's a certain kind of like groove that has like made itself in the dirt. And I just like keep following the groove because we like to follow grooves. But I see that this thing that I do specifically serves like this purpose. Like for instance, recently, for a while I'm like, okay, but this I'm starting to get a little bit older, so maybe I should start to take care of my body because it's gonna break, and I need it. So maybe I should start to stretch or something like this. And maybe I should be a little bit more calm beforehand. So maybe you should do some, you know, I should just calm down in some way. So for instance, I just did a run last week and there was one particular show where I was very relaxed. I was very on time and I took a nice long nap. Did my meditation, I did all the things, and it was very, you know, and the door was opening, and I was like, yes, I'm ready, great. And then, not to say that it was a bad or in a whatever, it was fine, but I felt maybe a kind of a certain disconnection, or a certain kind of, like, I was on a kind of a treadmill in a way that was like, oh, okay. So, yeah, I see now, and I already know about myself that I'm, that my systems are activated, or things, the pistons are all oiled and working well when I'm, when I'm in a panic. Well, but I'm not really in a panic, but the things that I'm doing beforehand induce a kind of panic that make me a kind of a ready me for these things that I don't know I'm going to do, in a way. All to say that what prepares me for being activated is activating did I say something?
Yeah. would you call what you do on the stage, or through what the work exists, would you call it a state? Or how would you name it yourself? Like, what is the physical or mental space, or that Eleanor Bauer was talking about as, what was it? Muddy bind.
Did she say muddy bind?
Like, muddy bind. Mind? Not body mind, but muddy bind.
She said muddy bind.
Yes. Of course
Is it a state? How would you describe it?
I mean, I'm okay with this word coming out of other people's mouths, and I know that we all define our things. And I don't have a one word, but I know that. Wait, what was the question? I'm saying so many things that I forgot.
No, go for it. You were definitely on the ball.
I just lost.
Would you describe it as a state yourself, or like how? Oh, yeah. What are the words you use yourself to describe what it is that you're working through or with?
It's a response to what's there. I'm responding to what's there, but of course there's like a prescription. Like I walk in with a prescription, I get into like the result of the various things that I've set up for myself, the people who've come into the room. I mean, all of these things produce a kind of a chemical or whatever, like a certain kind of like science experiment that happens with like these strangers in this city on this day at this time of day, with this prescription that I've walked into, with this is the way my leg feels, and so this produces what then gets kind of put on the table. So one could call that a state. That's probably why we make up words, yes, so that we don't use all those words.
Yeah.
However, it's just helpful for me to to think about it that way. Somehow it like it just makes more space for me to think about it that way. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, to call something an unnamed state is like to call it nothing. It's just to call it that, so you can then sort of go to that space and do something there that you don't really need to name or talk about. But you can give it this title that sort of disappears as soon as you have written it.
Yeah, that might
also. So it's just like a place or a landscape or a temporality, like it's so whatever you want.
So are you saying that it could be also called a pumpkin or gingerbread?
No, pumpkin and gingerbread, not so specific.
That's pretty good though.
You're welcome to use it. You heard it here first.
No, I think trying not to call it but and still needing to talk about it or needing to call it something, as we need to talk and write so much about our work, so then this is why these words are made, so I can communicate to others. But if I was on my own doing my thing in this room, I wouldn't need to do that. Then there would be just that, like Neo said the other day, it was very close to the premiere. He said, "Today we will work with space and time." And I was like, "What?" Like, <that's laughs> yeah. So it's so the words don't really work for what we do.
I do have a word actually. I've named it before. I have named it, and I call it living.
Hmm.
But it's really true, right? I mean, I think and that's actually quite important that for me to call it living to myself, because like if I hand you a piece of cheese and I tell you to take off your clothes and you know, walk on a stage and then put your head on that person's shoulder, like something's gonna, I mean, and then you just allow that to do what it does, I mean, that creates, well, that's, you're gonna live that in a very different way from like sitting here talking to me. If you just like live through that moment, like ingest that as yourself, I mean, that creates a something. You could block what it creates, but like, you know, naked, holding a cheese, putting your head on that person's shoulder that you've never met before, and like really sitting in that, I mean, it's something.
Totally, and right? I think it also describes many other things, or adds many other things to, in comparison to calling it a state from my perspective, but it also adds a level of like being affected and responsibility as well. Mm. Maybe because I just attended like 20 minutes of this lecture before talking about how to work together with conflict and maybe rearranging the responsibilities a bit. But yeah, that it's to me it sounds like it's highlighting the interactions. And that it's recognizing the interactions in a very different way than to call it something else.
Well, great. I want to ask you that, Janina, that when you said that you will try to find something that's in between the words or between the lines, or how did you in language, something like that.
Yeah.
So, so like, what is the first thing that you start to work with, like concrete things on stage when you're working with like abstract things, or try to find something that doesn't exist in a language? Like, how do you sort of define the task when there isn't really something that you can define with words?
We might define a space, like we might say living room on a Sunday, maybe morning, and then we would start moving to this feeling and see, then one would move and one would watch, and then we would see what starts to come out of it. That would be one way. Or then it would be more of sort of bodily emotion that we cannot necessarily name, but that could easily move us, or any proposal like that could sort of bring movement or stillness about, but that would involve the body. It could also be like trying to sort of be in contact with someone else or with an item.
But something really like sort of basic.
Yeah, like very simple. It's just like here, we are here, and we all have some sort of a feeling about this, what's happening, and we could now start just maybe highlighting it or making it a little bit more like a bit bigger in the body. So that it's very simple. Like my sort of thinking comes from maybe growing up with this being that needs to somehow express things always through moving or dancing or expressing through the body in some ways, I feel like has kept me sane through this life. And I whenever it's really hard, if I dance really, really hard, I feel much better. So something, it also affects the sort of hormone cocktail and like loads of things in me. So I have, my proposal is that this is what we share, and this saves us, you know, this is very important. So yeah, it's just here, like everywhere, and we can just make it bigger at any moment. So I work like I have just done with Neil, so that I perform myself and move myself, but I also work with people who are not dancers and work with like people different ages, and we always find a way to go between the words.
Yeah, I was just about to ask about how important it is to work with someone who you already know and who you share a similar something with when you work in this way, that you say Sunday morning and then you find a mutual ground through that, but then maybe you answered already by saying that it's something shared in a much wider sense than just with you and Neil, for example, or the working group.
Well, yeah, my relationship to Neil is very intimate. We are friends for many, many years, and we have sort of worked a lot together in a sense, but performing for others. But yes, I think you can find it with anyone. It's just different. Of course, we know much more of each other and our bodies and our minds, and now after this year, for sure, even more. So to make this duet, where I was involved as a performer myself, I needed to make it with someone who I really trusted and who I knew I could sort of do nearly anything with, and that would be safe. Like you talk about the safe working environment, I knew this was one. So it was a great proposal to do this duet with him. But I think we can find it, there are different scales, but we can find it with anyone. I mean, I love doing that with people.
How about you, Dana, when you're working with an abstract thing, what's the word? Let's take this, the performance that we're going to see tomorrow on Saturday on this festival. What was the first thing that you started to work with on stage? The first concrete thing.
On stage?
On stage. Or in the rehearsal room, whatever. In your mind.
Yeah.
Stage can be a mind.
Okay. Probably words. I'm trying to think of. I mean, yeah. The first. Okay, I'll go with the first thing I remember, which is. It's because I can't tell if I'm a liar or not. Anyway, with words. That's probably the first. Oh yeah, I see what's happening. It's because I'm having a memory, but then I'm having another memory, that it had its hand, somebody had their hand over that memory's mouth, and it just screamed at me. Anyway. With words. I was thinking about sex. Yeah, I was thinking about sex. Or lack thereof. sorry, it's because I'm having like a, yeah, I'm having like a confluence of, anyway, it starts with words, I mean, like, one thing is specifically a list, I was talking about this earlier, a list that's in my phone of master's programs that I could possibly do, and on the list is sexology. Sexology was on the list. But then also I'm just like having a memory of like being in an apartment. I was with a couple of people and eating yogurt. And I was like thinking about repression, because it was the beginning of performing the piece that came before this. And so whatever has come before this like kind of drags in from the sea a whole new like batch of thoughts or questions or reflections. And like one of the fish was like, oh, so if you thought, okay, so now that this thing has been liberated, I was like, oh shit, can you imagine how many fish are still in the net if like I didn't even know? And so then it's like I look backwards and it's like one of the huge fishes. I was like, oh, okay, so that thing probably affected that fish. So let's take the sex fish and put it on the table and let's have a look at the sex fish.
It's an interesting picture of looking
at the sex fish. Yeah.
Good work.
Yeah.
As a performance.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you for the sex fish.
I will. And that also made a performance, at least somehow in the same vein. So I think sex fish would be relevant to you.
You made a sex fish piece.
Well, there is a difference because I didn't have the point of view. Sex wasn't at all.
Yeah, that's true. Sorry.
It was about sexuality, but not sex. So we are in different boats.
Well, I mean, see, I use the word sex. It's just like that's like a super short form way of saying the like trillion of things. Actually,
yeah,
that's
true. Yeah.
Because you know, if you like crack open the chest, I mean, it's just going to be it's a constant overflow. So, just using the word sex is just like the key to the like ginormous room that I cannot possibly ever completely inspect.
Yeah, that's true.
And I mean, and I prefer to just leave the door open and have the room be as fucking infinite as it possibly can. So
yeah, because sexuality can be like it's like loads of things.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's yeah. I know.
But I cut you off, and I'm curious about what you were gonna say actually.
Well, this was going to be about your work, but I can just talk about mine. And all of those who haven't seen it. Well, I wanted to work on sexuality for many years because I think it's like so interesting, and it's a question that doesn't have an answer. It's like not this like narrative that there's a beginning and the end. So how can I make a performance that doesn't have a beginning and the end? Well, of course, because we live in time and chronology, and so there has to be a beginning and the end. But do we need to give an answer? No, or reply to like to a phone call in sort of like a narrative of what's sexuality about. So I decided to leave out sex and gender and just think what sexuality could be on stage, how to perform sexuality. I still don't have an answer, but that wasn't my task in the beginning, so it's like not fair to like write in the program that I have this question and I'm not gonna answer it. But you know, it's, you know, that's how I work.
Did you say it's not fair to put the question and not have an answer?
Well, it's not fair in that sense that if you put a question in the program, then people are gonna wait for the answer.
Mm-hmm.
But also but you're actually really right, because it's not like if you ask something, it doesn't mean that someone's gonna reply. So yeah, maybe it's fair after all. So
well, for the next work.
For the next work, yes. Yes.
I'm probably saying this because I definitely for this work, I definitely did that, and people are definitely like, well, I didn't see the answer. I don't even actually see the question.
Yeah.
And I guess my point is, it doesn't mean that it doesn't exist, just because perhaps you cannot see it, or it doesn't mean that, I mean, this is still the question that affected my certain choices or my desire to do whatever it is that I'm doing. I still think it's valid. But I mean, you know, this is like, this territory of like, what do these words that we offer, what are their multiple uses, or like, what is the should there be like a one thing, like, okay, these words are for like this purpose? I mean, I don't think that's really possible, but anyway, I vacillated between maybe then I should get somebody else to come and write something that's more clear about what they see, perceive, the question that they have. But I just keep coming back to why can't this question be a valid, or question, word, reflection, whatever. Mm. Why can't it also be valid? And perhaps it will frustrate many, but perhaps it will land somewhere useful for someone else.
Yeah, I watched the documentation before reading the text,
mm-hmm.
and I didn't necessarily see, or I didn't think of those things when watching the work,
mm-hmm.
but then I felt, I mean, also in Janina's and Neil's work, I felt that I was witnessing your logic in a way where I didn't have to question it in any way, that the text fell into the same, like, yeah, that it has your logic that I for whatever reason I'm not questioning. it had the same feeling to it, or it I don't know, I resonated in a similar place, and it, well, yeah, I think I watched the documentation first, and then I read it, and even if they didn't, like, the other one didn't explain the other, but it had the same sense still. I said the same thing many times in different ways, but hey, repetition. Yeah, and also, in Janina Sunil's work, when you write about it being about the things that are in between the words, or the words are lacking, I felt like I was also assuming a lot of things from my own experiences, or how do you say, reflecting my experiences on whatever I saw, because I felt that the work was so much about your connection and the logic that you follow together. And again, I didn't question any of the actions that happened, like, even if some of them are strange or, yeah, whatever, like, they are not necessarily all recognizable or known things that happen, but then because it is so strongly happening in the dynamics between you two, and you make it, and it's about me seeing how you make that world together. I don't know if there's an end to the sentence, but I felt that there was a similar, I felt like I was watching your works in a similar way, that these things unfold and they somehow flow, and the next thing happens after the previous, and there are no like clear cuts for things, and yeah, like they're just somehow really intuitive. Oh, these are my words.
Mm-hmm.
In how things happen. And I was wondering, yeah, like how. Yeah, like what are the, maybe you answered this a bit already, but what are the structures behind making something that to me seems so so open to whatever, not whatever, but like that somehow the pace and the logic is in you and I get to see it. How do you build it? In three words, no.
For me, it's about time. I mean, like this last, or what is happening now? This thing that's called Cutlass Spring that happens in this room in this scenario came with time, and. Yeah, with lots of lab time, lots of baking soda and vinegar and different containers and different cities, you know. Okay, and then you just like, okay, this time I'm gonna add peanut butter, and then what happens with peanut butter and vinegar and baking soda in Toronto at 6 p.m. This happens, great. Does it seem to, you know, like what do? And then I take some part of that experiment, and then I carry it to another place, and eventually, and then you step away from it for a couple of months, and then, like whatever keeps somehow haunting your thought process or your body or whatnot, just keeps making the cut, kind of thing. I'm speaking kind of like this. This is radio. I keep being, now I'm like super conscious of the fact that it's a very interesting situation where it's like, I'm like, it's radio, but then there's people. So we're doing all of this time and arms and stuff, but actually we have two different like formats. Anyway, sorry.
It's not too dissimilar, I think. It's about repetition. That finding something and then repeating it and then seeing what stays as time passes, until you can then do that same on stage. So we had plenty of things, hours and hours and hours of us working on some things, and then it got less and less and less. I think the designers got quite frustrated towards the end. Like there started to already be this like desire to know, and the work was really about sort of not nailing things but bringing them, if we talk about the fish again, using, you know, like some soft nets to bring them in but not being very very precise. So so for example, working with Mickey Bruno on the sound, it was only like this week that we could be a bit more clear with like where we start and where he starts. For him it must have been more challenging to work in such an open way, or in this way of like gathering and seeing what filters and stays. But he did a great job. But he did sometimes go like, it's like, yeah, it's fine. Yeah.
Yeah, this is, I guess, to an extent the difference. Like, if you do tell someone to go on the stage naked with the cheese, like, something will happen. But then, yeah, how do you, if you are to design or support that in some way, like, how do you pace that work? Like, when does that work happen? Often it happens beforehand. And, yeah, I can totally understand where the frustration might come from. Yes, Dana, you've been working on the piece in many cities, as you were just saying before. And I was wondering how did you, the word escaped me, commit. How did you commit to the objects that you're using? Or how did you find them?
I'll talk about how I found them, I guess. I guess it's like a kind of casting call. Like first there's like, okay, well, sex. Okay. So it's like the first casting call. And then Yeah. It's an extended casting call. So you've 3 years, and I have this subject. There's also a color casting call. So there's the sex word, and then there's a color choice that's made, and it's generally made based on previous works or based on a few different things. Generally many different things. There's a subject, and there's a color, and then there's an archival work that's happening. Yeah, very archival work that's happening. A kind of desire for certain things to remain in my historical vision. And I have understood that this is quite strong because I grew up with a mom who threw everything out all the time. And also I grew up in a family that just doesn't talk about the past. And anyway, I think this might be I'm looking at Alana because Alana is also Caribbean, and I'm thinking about an article that I read recently. Oh, I'm going down a path. Anyway, I was reading an article recently about dub music and the kind of history of dub music. And yeah, and there's this beautiful thing where there's in this particular article, they're talking about this constant argument of who made that sound first, and that was in this person's recording studio in Shabada Poopop's whatever year, and it's no, I was there when da da da, and this creates this kind of rich murder mystery over where did this come from first. And I think that there's some kind of I don't know, almost an aversion to pinning down of history, because it's playful and it's alive, and also there's it feels like there's a recognition that I keep saying this, that we don't know anything, so a pinning down of something anyway is quite pretentious. Okay, that was a spin. I spinned off, and I'm not quite sure the tie-in, but playful, blah blah blah. But still, I'm just kind of I kind of just want a photo album, so I just know what I look like when I was six a little bit sometimes. That's fun. So then I want to just hold on to this dress that I used to really love when I was 4 years old, because it does something. It's a comfort and seeing artifacts. I mean, this is why we why museums, books, whatever exist.
So the casting call for the objects comes from these desires.
The subject, the color, this archival process, things that tickle my fancy.
Mm. So what were they for this particular work, apart from the sex fish?
Uh-huh.
What were the colors? What were the specifics of these things for this particular work?
Red. I mean, and this was kind of sex red. It's kind of, it's a little bit dumb, but also, why not? But also, I've been just on a perpetual primary color kick for a very long time in my work, and also red is actually a color that I despise. Sorry.
Yanina's wearing a red sweater.
It's not that I despise it, it's that it's it's quite too much for me in my day-to-day life, but I also find it really a ridiculous aversion. Not ridiculous, but I think it's somehow I cannot possibly just not have red in my life. So every once in a while I just make it the lead character in my work, just to, you have to have a balanced diet. You need to have all of the colors in your diet, otherwise something is incorrect.
Yeah, because the first work that I saw from you was the yellow towel, right?
Mm-hmm.
So maybe the color there is obvious. I'm just curious to know, what was your previous Mercurial George, right?
Mercurial George was between the two, yeah.
Yeah, what was the color for that?
So yellow towel was there's like a primary color, and then there's like subdivisions. So there's yellow, and then there's white, and then there's brown. In fact, it's always kind of the same colors, but then like the, it's like the, in the printer, the cartridges kind of different levels.
So, I mean, so is it that the ones that are left will end up in your next work?
Well, they're sometimes just there, but like maybe only I can see them like on a packaging of a label or something like this, a label packaging. Mercurial George was blue, red, was blue and red mainly, and black, and white. Yeah, these are like reoccurring characters. There's reoccurring color characters for sure. And there's always a green, kind of forest green splash is a reoccurring character also. Yeah.
I just want this side note that also this my performance that we talked earlier was red.
That's your performance?
Yeah, that's like, it was totally red.
Yeah, yeah.
So red is good.
Yeah. What's on your head there?
It's not me, actually. It's a person who has like this
foam.
Soft foam thing over him. So, yeah.
And this is a raised platform.
Yeah.
So it's beautiful.
So red, so, yeah.
And is there like a lowered ceiling platform?
Yeah, there is everything is like a Danelia, square.
Square.
And then also, was it all in a, like this?
Yeah.
Okay, this is
I'm sorry for these listeners.
We're just looking at the photo.
Yes. Go watch Aftarotika when it's but near your town.
So many similarities.
Yeah, but yeah, so red is good.
Yeah. Maybe sex does that.
For sure, but then there's like really specific things that are happening that are like quite things in common with... yeah, that's nice. I like these kinds of situations.
But the thing is with colors, when we were performing... I'm really sorry I'm talking about my body.
No, go for it!
Yeah.
But it's the color that... We were discussing a lot about the color that is red. Is it like too obvious? We are making a performance of sexuality, so is red like mm-hmm. So was there any other color you were thinking of? But then we thought that maybe we need to give this color. Maybe we need to give this to the audience, and then we can do whatever.
Yeah.
So that was sort of one reason.
Yeah.
To choose the color.
Mm-hmm.
To liberate.
I agree with that as a rationale also.
Yeah.
I was wondering also, because today was the first snow in Helsinki, and a spoiler alert, everyone, there will be ice in the performance, I suppose.
No!
Really? Oh, I'm sorry.
But, it's okay!
But...
It's fine. It's really fine. It's okay. Nothing.
There might be ice in the performance. Maybe it'll be rose petals. I don't know, something red.
There's a possibility of ice.
There's a possibility of ice. Yes. But because today was the first snow, I felt very the ice was super relevant, and the streets are icy, and it really made me wonder how like. Yeah, what as a material, what connotation, like how have you felt being with it in different environments, touring in different places at different seasons? Like, it must change. Like, I remember one work that I saw in the winter in Helsinki where people wore bathing suits, and then seen in the summer, like, it was a whole different piece.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I'm sorry.
That's okay, because I mean, you know, we're in a situation where we're talking about the work, so you have to like
it
talk about
already.
Work.
Exactly. Yeah.
But it's like a particular situation where we're talking about the work with people who haven't seen the work, which creates a very like specific situation in myself as well, because I'm like, I can't say this the second time I said it today. I'm a Scorpio. I'm fucking a secretive ass motherfucker, and also. I really like magic tricks. Anyway, who cares? It's out. Is the cat's out of the bag?
But it's kind of
and
in
it's
the
really,
picture already. Like it's.
I mean, it's really. But it's that's it. It's like really stupid. I mean, it's kind of like I do this and I'm like, hey, nobody can see the sweater under the cup now. Of course you can. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Oh, whatever. Context. I mean, yes. For instance, I mean, it's not quite so drastically different because it's still in the theater, right? So you walk inside of here and already a certain kind of vacuum is created. Outside is a different situation. So this, like, well, yeah, one of the versions that happened outside in the summertime, like by the sea kind of thing. And so, yeah, I took on a really different... I did one performance in Montpellier and it was hot, so hot. And so by the time I got to this moment where I start interacting, it was like, oh, fucking shit, it felt so, so good. But it always feels so, so good because I actually really, really like ice because I'm anemic. And so I just love ice in general. So kind of, in a way, it kind of stays a certain kind of even because I just really love ice. But certainly in Montpellier, when it's really hot and I'm sweating buckets and then I get to like interact with ice, then there's like perhaps like an even further melting of my person inside of the thing versus like, it's cold outside and I come into the cold. But then like recently last week I did the performance and I was like, can we just like put up the heat in the theater a little bit? But it's pretty even. It feels like quite kind of even. Like perhaps there's like a modulation of like my mental temperature in relation to this material that I know I'm going to interact with, and or the materiality of the entire thing is like maybe a kind of modulation that happens. So it's not so drastically different.
Yeah. I think I'm also wondering because I was watching it at home, like covered under three blankets, uh-huh. trying to keep myself warm, uh-huh. which I wouldn't be in a theater. Mm-hmm. So probably my how I experienced the ice also felt somehow way more dramatic than it might be on the stage. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I don't usually bring my blankets to the theater, but yeah. Any other secrets you don't want me to reveal about your work? Tell them now. So, yeah, but we were just talking about this maybe with Anna, that even if... Oh, no, sorry, I was talking about it with another friend just before we came here. That it's funny, like, even if you speak about the things that happen or whatever, the things that you bring together, like, it's still... Like, it still doesn't give away anything. Like, there's so much of these things that you have made the work almost about that, the things that words cannot and will never reach and are totally incompetent. Like, this stuff will be... Yeah, it that's always there. Mm. Regardless. I'm still thinking about the person with the cheese on the stage. Yeah. Ah. Oh.
Maybe I've scared you now.
No. Okay. It's fine. But it's funny, like, I hadn't considered... I did consider, I guess, because I said spoiler alert, but I didn't, like, for whatever reason, I don't know why. Maybe I sense that I should maybe speak about it or whatever. But yeah, it's funny, like, what things are... make the magic somehow.
Mm.
Yeah.
When people, you know, when people haven't seen the work, it's like they read the description or synopsis or whatever, and then they always have this expectation, even if there's not the picture or anything like concrete, there's the text. And I was thinking about when you were talking about things that are not in the text, but somewhere like in between or under or over or...
Mm.
So there is always this if people read the text before they come to see the performance. I don't even like to read the text because it gives me, you know, the glasses to like how to perceive or how, what to think, or like, okay, this is a performance about sex. Okay, now everything is about sex. Don't even think about other things. It's about sex. So it's, you know, I find it somehow a bit like there's a contradiction there in between, like, giving the text to the audience and then not giving it. But how do you feel? How do you, like, what are your thoughts on giving the text to the audience before, or what the books put in the text, or like how specific can you be or not at all?
I love the text. I love trying to write something that is as specific as I can get about the work, even if the work would deal, like this one deals with avoiding the words. Still, I find it sort of enchanting and important to make at the end of the process this effort to give yet another level to the work somewhat. And it's, I feel that it's somehow part of the work, but it's also a separate piece of art, the text. So I always try to put like effort into it and maybe be a bit more sort of personal as well, to try to give some sort of an insight of why I have made the work that is there. I strongly feel that the way we read and understand what we read is very unique. Like, it's very individual. Like, everybody gets what they get, and it's not like a universal. You read a sentence and now everyone's got it. I think everyone's got a completely different version of what that might mean, so I also don't worry too much about it.
And then that's also the one of the concrete things at, like, outside of the performances that is available and accessible for other people also way after it's been shown.
Yeah.
How about you, Dana? What are your thoughts?
I really like writing, and I definitely really, really enjoy writing about the work, around the work, etc. However, I really do resent and despise attaching it directly with the object. It depends. That's quite strong, but there's a kind of a mourning process that I have to go through when I've got to, like, put that thing right up next to that thing and know that those things are going to be holding hands for people in a very specific way. It's so... perhaps this is... well, anyway, maybe in retrospect, but... like, all in all of those like, years that I kind of prescribed 3 years for myself to, like, work on a thing, and in all of those moments, it's just, like, such a... liberating pleasure to, like, just, like, pop in and just, like, shit a thing out without any kind of words, description. I mean, talk about it, you have conversations, da-da-da-da, but to just be able to, like, have all the words to myself and have all of the writing and reflection and research and just, like, squeeze a thing out and, to kind of remain in this, like, nebulousness. it's juicy. It's really juicy. And I feel like, at the beginning anyway, I mean, I think I relax after a certain moment, but at the beginning then I really feel as though it's like I've, like, put a leash on the work, and it makes me feel a bit sad. But then I think as time goes on, then, like, yeah, I guess I just, like, forget that there's a description that people read as they walk in the room and sit down, but it's still there. But I guess because of the distance from me, like, writing it and, like, it going through all of the phases of talking to whatever co-producer who wants to have their say or whatever. But as you say, that's it for some people. Some people are able to navigate through reading this writing in different ways, which is, like, very okay. But yeah, certainly there's, I always, like, feel a kind of, like, like a tug on my heart when someone's like, yeah, I was watching and I just, like, I didn't see that, and I'm like, fucking, you know, like back 2 weeks ago when I did the same thing and there was no words, that wasn't, nobody had this problem. They could just like enter into the thing and like sit at the table and we could just have a meal. And now suddenly it's like everyone was like, that didn't taste like veal, so I had to leave the dinner. You know? It's like, so am I, do I need to get better at like, you know, do I need to make the font bigger to veal? I mean, I don't know, whatever. Anyway.
Great. I'm aware of the time.
Oh, yeah.
I think you need to, I mean, you're both performing tomorrow. So I think, unless anyone has something really pressing they want to say to the tape, go now. Now's your chance. And if not,
I want to say that I'm really excited to learn. I'm really excited that we're two mamas in this conversation.
Yes.
I don't know. I feel like that.
Mm-hmm.
There's something quite, and you were talking about this parallel between our works, and I saw the work last night. Yeah, and I was like sitting on this carpet, which, I mean, there's a lot of like pretty concrete similarities.
Mm. Wow, I need to see your work. I mean, I've seen the previous ones, but I was going to skip these two because I think
you're also performing.
Because it's going to be a rush.
Yeah, of course.
I'll try.
Yeah.
What did I want to say about this moment? Yeah, because last night you told me that you knew that I was a recent mother when you had been watching me perform.
Yeah.
And I did write a text, a very specific personal text for the program about that I had given birth in this year that I made this piece. But then we left it out because it's a duet. Mm-hmm. So it's not about me giving birth, even if for me it is about that. But it was great that you had seen it without me putting the text in there.
Mm.
So yeah.
But this was in an interview or a text you had done with Zodiac. That when they were asking about how the title refers to.
That's true. Yeah.
I can't remember if the question was how it refers to the work. Or however, I'm sure it was maybe more eloquently put. But yeah, you were saying that every day is over your fucking body.
Yes.
Because you, like, yeah, you've been made. I don't need to quote your words back to you, so.
I'm curious about what they were.
Just that we, first I called it over your fucking body, even if this British colleague of mine wasn't sure this was an appropriate title for our duet. But I was quite angry with having to explain over and over again why I make movement. Why I find the way I work important, or why I find that it has a place in the world. So I thought, everybody fucks and everybody dies, so movement is here. Like, let's not write pages about it. It's very clear for me. So that's why it was over your fucking body instead of over your dead body. But then we got the commission, and then I found out that I was pregnant. And I felt like, oh, that's quite a curse to want to make a piece about the body and then find out you're pregnant, so you're really going to make a piece about the body. So then I just, in this interview, I answered that that's what it has been for me, sort of over my fucking body, because that's what it's been, like dealing with it, growing, carrying, then feeding, trying to keep my joints somehow together, going to the physio every week so that I can walk, like all sorts of things. So it's been strong. But at the same time, like we talked with Dana last night, that there's just such strength and magic and renewal in being two and then being one. It's just a complete madness. So it, of course, also gives to the work. You get a lot of power for free somewhat. So, yeah.
I feel like that I need to make some sex-related work next as well.
I thought you were going to say you need to make babies.
Oh, no, just the work left part. Out. I mean, no comments on that part. But yeah, the work.
Yeah, make work about sex. It's nice.
Remember the sex fish.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it definitely gave fish me the new, sex new fish imagery. Well. Yeah, I will definitely tackle this next. Great, thank you so much for your works, and you're still performing. I'm so looking forward to seeing your works again. And enjoy the festival and be happy and have fun.
Heal the world.
Heal the world. Exactly. Great.
Thank you.
Thank you.